Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party radio show. My name is Abu Tam. I am the American fundamentalist. And for today, I am the Iranian fundamentalist. We are supporting the revolution in Iran, the peaceful revolution. Hang in there a second, and we will continue. We're back. Welcome to the Voice of Love and Freedom. We dedicate this show to the memory of an Iranian girl named Neda, an innocent Iranian girl who demonstrated for Iranian freedom. She wore no armor, only a white blouse. She carried no weapon, only a freedom sign. And for this crime, the military shot her in the chest and she died in her father's arms. Any father who has held a little daughter in his arms knows how sacred that feeling is. To watch helplessly as life drains from your daughter, an innocent victim from a military assault, is the worst nightmare one can suffer. The duty of the military is to protect the people, and not to kill them, to protect the crooks in power. This is not the Persian way. The Trump administration supports life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. I do not speak for Trump, but I follow his example. The bribe money Obama paid the mullahs was used to kill the innocent. Trump is for the people, all the people. As the Arabs say, "Fi aman Allah," God keep you safe. Abu Tam, you're a brand new friend in America, the freedom fundamentalist. Our first tune is dedicated to Neda. It is an Irish tune called Makushla. It means my darling, because Neda is the symbol of peaceful revolution and cannot be forgotten.
Thank you.
let us continue. We see what is going on in Iran, and I think in 2009 the Iranian people arose up, the younger generation, and they demonstrated in the streets. And at the time, our president was pro-terrorist and pro-mullahs. And as a matter of fact, he even sent them cash to kill Americans. And probably some of that cash went to kill Iranians, too. And it's really sad. We are going through a revolution in our country here. We have two parties that rule the land. We are starting to realize that one party is communist-oriented, and that is called the Democrat Party. And the other party is called the Republican Party, but 30% of them are really Democrats, and we call them rhinos. So we have our problems here with political parties. But fortunately for us, our founding fathers built into the Constitution fail-safes so that no tyrant could ever take over. But tyrants can last 8 years, like the last tyrant we had. And the way that the tyrants survive is they divide the country up into factions and let the factions fight amongst each other while they control the outcome. The Iranian people are at a disadvantage because in the United States, we have the right to bear arms. Every American can carry as many guns as he wants. And during World War II, after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Japanese admiral in charge of the attack was asked why he didn't follow up after defeating the American Navy at Pearl Harbor. He was asked why he didn't attack the West Coast. And his answer was, because behind every blade of grass is an American with a rifle. And that's what keeps us free. It is not the will of politicians. It's our ability to overthrow the government whenever we feel it is becoming tyrannical. And there are people who want to take our guns away, but that will never happen. That will never happen. Our revolution was won by 25% of the population. And we had a civil war to protect the integrity of the United States. We did not want a divided states. And both sides fought valiantly. One to secede and one to unite. And the ones who wanted to unite eventually won. But both sides had a banner, and both sides fought under it for what they believed. And every individual has the right to believe whatever he wants and to speak however he wants. And we try to keep those values that were bred into us in 1776. And we try to maintain the integrity of the United States. We don't always succeed, but we do try. In your case, you have no arms, so you are helpless. And the fact that you go out into the streets unarmed is extraordinary. So how can you win without arms? You have to convince those with arms that their obligation is to the people. The military follows orders, but when an order is given that requires the death of citizens the military has to question that authority. And eventually, you're going to need the military to get on your side. So that's who you have to woo. You have to woo the military. And it's not going to be easy. But that is what you have to do. Because you cannot win without weapons. So therefore, your weapon has to be the heart of the military. You have to attack the heart and the conscience of the military and convince them they are supporting a crooked regime. So having said that, we'll take a break. Every generation has its own style of music. The tune I'm going to play for you next comes from the Hepcat generation, which I would say was back around the 40s. We had some good music in the 40s and the 30s. And this tune is real American. You'll know right away. And if it makes you toe tap, you are now a Hepcat. The name of the tune is It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing. So when you hear some propagandist filling you full of lies, you can tell them, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
What good is music? What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. You just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Hello to my Iranian friends. This is the Voice of Freedom, who is supporting the demonstrations of the Iranian people, the peaceful Iranian people, who are not armed, who are only weapon is a protest sign, and they should not be gunned down by the Ayatollahs. And it is all being covered up by the communist press in the United States. They are not going to show you how you are suffering. They are covering it all up like they did under Obama, the terrorist, in 2009. I see there's late-breaking news tonight that the mullahs in Iran, the Ayatollah, has banned English to be taught in schools. This is a bad move. Because, and it's a deliberate move, and they're doing it here in the United States. They are banning English in the schools in the United States. One or two schools, not many. But that is part of the communist takeover of the United States, which is failing. And here in Iran, they are banning English. Well, here's the bad news about banning English. One, you cannot fly a plane internationally if you don't speak English. You cannot be a pilot that does not speak English. Because all landing instructions are in English. They all, it has to be the common language for all aircraft traveling the world. Number two, all international business contracts have to be in English. So you're at a disadvantage if you don't speak English. Now, I'll give you an example of what happens here in New York. In New York City, the public school system, we have a lot of children of immigrants from Spanish-speaking nations. So the children's families only speak Spanish. The parents only speak Spanish. So the children don't learn English at home. Okay? So when they go to school, the teachers have trouble teaching them English because when they go home, they revert back to Spanish. So this one teacher who speaks English and Spanish, as a matter of fact, she's from Peru, went to the principal and says the kids who are coming from families where the parents speak no English are failing. And he says, why is that? He says, because they don't get to practice English at home. So you know what the principal told her? Teach them only Spanish. And that's an attack on the United States to balkanize the United States. Break it up. Anything that creates unity must be ununited. So I just thought I'd give you a little heads up. And how are you going to listen to my show? I don't speak Farsi. But I could learn it. So I could learn some words in Farsi, like bonjour. what's the one when you say goodbye? What do you say? Do you say ciao? Or do you say au revoir? I know there are some French words that are incorporated in the Iranian language. Okay, so having said that, I'm looking for a tune, and the tune is in French. It's called Comme Toi. And if I find it, it's by a lady named Alabina. And I will play it for you. So hang in there, and we'll do dedications. If I find Comme Toi, we will do a dedication. First, I have to find a popular Iranian girl's name. So we have dedication. Dedication from a girl to a boy. There's dedicating the next song to him. And her name is Shahrazad, which means bringing freedom to the city. And the boy's name is Nizar. So here we go.
Comme toi, comme toi.
This is our first cut, and I'm going to stop it now, but I'm going to broadcast it tonight, and we will add to it as we go along. Wishing the Iranian people a safe, peaceful revolution. Do not spill blood. They're going to spill your blood anyway, but don't give them an excuse to do it. Get to the military and tell the military you want your country back. Not everybody believes in the Ayatollahs. Okay, so we're still rolling. Or are we? Well, one way to find out, we'll play another tune. Let's see what we can do. We'll dedicate this one to Scheherazade. And this is All the Things You Are. It's a love song.
Something to make my heart beat the faster. What did I long for? I never really knew. Finding your love, I found my adventure. Touching your hand, my heart beat the faster. All that I want in all of this world. You are the angel, oh,
Okay, we've got another dedication, and this is from a boy to a girl. The boy's name is Esan, which means goodness, and Atusa, which means Esan's not bad looking. So let's see if we can find a nice tune. But not for me. I know that's in Brazilian. Eye of the Tiger. No. I'm going to find something nice. I got it. I only have eyes for you.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. I don't know if it's cloudy or
we have another dedication. This is from a girl named Tefa, which means affectionate, to a guy named Vafa, which means faithful. What a beautiful combination.
Forever, or I'll never.
This one we dedicate to the fathers, the mothers, the children, everybody we love.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay.
Quiet, boys. Hey,
Charlie. Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and just you and I know true love ways. Throughout the day, our true love ways will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why just you and I know true love ways.
I don't know if you know the story of Donald Trump, but he is a billionaire, and he's seen a need in the country for better government and less waste and less corruption. He takes no salary. And the Republicans didn't want him, and the Democrats didn't want him. So he stood alone, tried to get as much help as he could, and he ran for office. And he spoke directly to the people. And the people from states that used to vote Democrat voted for him. And he was up against 17 candidates from the Republican Party. And he beat everyone. The Democrats only had two candidates. They had Hillary Clinton, who sells uranium to the Russians, who was selling it to the mullahs, and somebody's going to eat all those yellow cakes one day. And he also, the Democrats also had a sidecar. Hillary was the motorcycle. And they had to put up somebody that would look like they were running against her. And they took a guy named Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist. And they said, Bernie, you're going to ride in the sidecar with Hillary. But when you get to the convention, just as they open the door, you get out and take a walk. So Bernie told all his supporters that he was going to fight for them on the convention floor. I'm sure you got politicians just like that. But when he got to the door, he said, I can't go in. Instead, I'm going to buy a $625,000 third socialist home. And we believe, some of us believe, Bernie got paid off. And at the same time, Obama was sending money to the Ayatollahs, I think somewhere between $1.5 billion and $2.5 billion. He flew overnight on pallets, dollar bills stacked on pallets, to the Ayatollahs. They called Obama and said they were short $625,000. That's a nukta. That's a joke. So, but Obama did send the money overnight, but he couldn't rescue three Americans on a rooftop who waited 13 hours. If you go back to the golden age of Persia, which I got to tell you, was probably at the time of the Shah. I don't know how you feel about the Shah, but here in America, the communists destroyed any support for the Shah, and they were working in hand with the mullahs. And as a matter of fact, the Shah was dying of cancer, and the communists here didn't want to let him in. Yet my boss, my master, says, what you do to the least of my people, you do to me. So, we did the wrong thing. We allowed the Shah to be deposed. Was he a bad guy? Not for everybody. I talked to some Iranians. They swear by him. And there is a Pahlavi still alive. And I'm sure they would have loved to have killed him. And he is in the States pleading for help for the Iranians. Iranian politics is not my bag. But our Ayatollah Obama, he sent money to kill Americans. And I'm sure that the Shah spread some of that. I mean, the Ayatollahs spread some of that money to kill Iranians, too. I still see Aneda in front of my face. I saw the bullets that went into her body. She was so helpless. We had a situation in California where a helpless girl was murdered by an illegal alien, six times deported. But the Democrats kept bringing him back. And then he was finally acquitted, and the girl got no justice. The communists have better lawyers. And you know what Shakespeare says? Kill all the lawyers. So I'm going to pick another tune. We'll do another dedication. This one is to Roxy. That's a lady's name, Roxy. We have Roxy's here. And it means star of magnificence. And it's to Mirza, the nobleman. Mirza means nobleman. So we're going to play The Impossible Dream, which is what you're going through right now. And Americans haven't woken up from their dream yet. They think they're in safe hands. They are in safe hands with Trump, but they haven't been in safe hands for a long time.
To dream impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love your enchased from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to
reach the unreachable star. This is my quest to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know one man's torn and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the Cinea, to reach the unreachable.
Do a little bit of American history. One of the things that's happening in our country is they're erasing American history and American heritage. They do not want the spirit of America to survive. The spirit of America is built on our American Revolution, and the enemies of a United States want to erase America's heritage, good or bad. It belongs to us. It's what made us a people. Today is the 203rd anniversary of Andrew Jackson's victory at the Battle of New Orleans, America's second war for independence. The first one was in 1776. Less than 25% of the country overthrew the British and sent them home packing. They all had to leave by 1781. Then the British decided that the seas belonged to them, and they started to stop American ships and take the crews and impress them on British warships. So the War of 1812 began, and it began bad for us on 9/11. On 9/11, around 1812, the British landed in Baltimore, marched to Washington, D.C., and burned the White House, burned the Capitol building. But God is good. And what happened was he created a hurricane, just like the Japanese have kamikaze. There was a hurricane, and the temperatures went to 110 degrees, and a lot of British soldiers died in the hurricane. and hot in the heat. Though America was weakened when the British arrived in the White House, the food on the table was still warm. That's how close the government was to being captured. And a lady named Dolly Madison, who was married to the president, Madison at the time, saved all of the artwork before the British burned the Capitol. But down in New Orleans was a general named Andy Jackson. And on January the 8th, which is today, the 203rd anniversary of his historic victory over the British, he led a band of vastly outnumbered Tennessee, Kentucky, and Mississippi state militia. Free blacks, because they were free blacks at the time. As a matter of fact, they don't teach this in American history. The third largest slave owner in Louisiana was black. Local civilians, French pirates, Choctaw and Creole Indians, volunteers, and some army regulars. And they destroyed the most powerful and modern army in the world. While the Orleans Battalion Band played Yankee Doodle. Yankee Doodle went to town just to ride a pony. It's about a guy that went to play a horse. The British military establishment was stunned. How could this happen? They believed that Americans would refuse to fight Britain's highly disciplined military force, that Louisianans would throw off their allegiance to the United States and side with the English. Divide and conquer has always been a major tactic. I'm sure it's happening in your country right now. Andrew Jackson's victory prevented Great Britain and Spain from devouring huge chunks of land that belonged to the USA. For 50 years, the victory at the Battle of New Orleans was routinely celebrated throughout the nation with parades and toasts as America's second war for independence. Indeed, Americans at the time believed the 8th of January would be remembered like the 4th of July, as the dates representing our first and second Declaration of Independence. Clearly, the British had no respect for General Jackson's ragtag army. They called them dirty shirts. But within 30 minutes of their assault on the American lines, those dirty shirts had destroyed the most powerful army in the world. The British lost 3 generals, 7 colonels, 75 officers, and 2,000 men. The American losses were 13 dead, 39 wounded, and 19 captured. Over the past several decades, foreign powers had treated the United States with outrageous contempt. And this is the cause of the war, the British seizure of American ships and impressment of American sailors. As far as England was concerned, its loss in the First War for Independence was a fluke, and now it could exact revenge. 3 years after the War of 1812 began, American morale was at its lowest. The American army lost battle after battle in the Northwest and the Eastern coastline. The British burned the White House, and the nation's politicians fled in humiliation. Great Britain realized they would gain control over New Orleans. They would own the Mississippi River, which means they could split America in two. The preeminent historian on Andrew Jackson, a guy named Robert Remini, wrote, "The nation's faith and confidence in itself had been restored by Jackson. He alone was responsible for giving the country back its self-respect. He had slaughtered a magnificent British army, over 2,000 victims, a figure that seemed incredible at the time, and repelled the greatest armada in history." Jackson's role, according to Remini, was absolutely crucial in the future course of American expansion. Not only did he spare the nation an almost certain amputation of territories in the Southwest, but he prepared the way for the immediate future growth of the American nation. But the communists in this country want to take his statue down, and they use the race card to do it. Divide and conquer is the major communist tactic. And we have a lot of communists in this country. But we can go down to 25% and start all over again. I'm going to do my last dedication. The girl's name is Sanaz, which means grateful. And the boy's name is Farouz, which means man of triumph. And we'll play The Things I Love. That's our show, folks. Until we meet again.